The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
A man who needs no introduction in this church, the pastor, missionary, chaplain, heck of a good guy, Bob Riles. Bob, come and share the word with us.
Thank you, brother. You bless me. The Spirit of the Lord is with us today.
Amen.
Amen. Are we on? Third time's the charm. All right. It was probably me. Truly, the Lord's with us this morning. The Lord is blessing us and being with us and caring for us. This, I just really felt as we were praying that there's a real spirit of healing here this morning. And I would sense that the Lord's not done with it yet. If the healing is not yet perfected in the moment that we prayed with you, keep trusting God. Keep trusting Him because you know what? He doesn't bug out and say, well, I got another meeting to go to. He's here with us today. I have a message, and I'll preach that in a moment, but I asked the Lord for a scripture, and I think it's appropriate for where we are right now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Sorry, Jim. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and the heir according to the promise. That's the very end of Galatians chapter 3. And we are heirs according to the promise. God's doing great things in this church today and in this hour. But He's also doing great things throughout our community and the places that we frequent. Today we're going to talk a little bit in the same area of the Bible where Pastor Morris has been for the last 3 weeks, talking about praying and fasting and giving. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are all related. At the beginning of chapter 5, we find the Beatitudes. And I just picture this whole session as Jesus sitting on the side of a mountain. People sitting there, everybody can hear, temperature is perfect, no bugs, no distractions of any kind. And He's just sitting and talking about things that are on His mind. Did you ever talk to a relative, somebody that you love dearly, and just love to hear the stories that they tell? And you say, keep on going, don't stop now. Tell me something else, Papa. I want to hear more about where you've been and where you came from. And Jesus sat on the side of that mountain, and he started with the Beatitudes. And you're so familiar, because this is often a place that we go for preaching. You're so familiar with the scriptures here. He talks about us being salt and light to the world. And He talks about the fulfillment of the law when Jesus came, that the law was fulfilled in Him. And He teaches us about murder and adultery and divorce, and about taking oaths, about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and He kind of clarifies that teaching for us. And He talks about loving your enemies and giving to the needy and prayer and fasting, the three priests that Pastor Morris has been preaching on lately. He says, do not worry. And oh, we're a worrisome people. We're a worrisome people. And He loved us enough to throw that in there, that, hey folks, don't worry. I got it. I got it. I got you. There's no classifications. We're all together in this together. And He talked to us about persisting, that we ask and we seek and we knock. And if you don't ask and you don't knock, you don't get. And He talked to us about kids. Don't you love it when your grandkids come to you and say, Papa, can I go to your money jar and get a handful of coins? Grammy, you have another Oreo cookie? That one wasn't enough. You know, that we continue to persist with our Heavenly Father, who loves us more than we love our grandkids, more than we love our kids, and more than we love each other, He loves us. He talks about the gate being narrow and the wide gate and the trees that produces fruit. And then he ends up this whole section. He's been sitting on the side of the mountain. Nobody's hungry. Nobody's ready to get up and leave. Nobody's looking at their watch trying to figure out what time it's going to be. And finally he says, therefore, for all the stuff that I've told you, he said, I'm going to wrap it up for you right here. In verse 20, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He said, therefore, you've heard the teaching, the encouragement, you've heard the word of God is to just the almost like the rambling of his mind of saying, hey, this is another, let me tell you this, this is another important thing. And he gets down to the end of that and he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, you got the does them? Everybody got that? Okay. Hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And if the rain descends and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Today we're going to talk about building on the rock. Verse 26 says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not, did I say does not? Did you hear does not? We're on the same page then. And does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And it was a great fall. Anybody ever build on sand? I did. What's wrong with you? The entire Word of God is an amazing story of God's grace and mercy for the people that He loves. He called us to be ambassadors. If that's not a crazy story, He called us to be ambassadors to go out into the world to tell people about Him. He gave us an instruction to go out and to make disciples of all nations and to baptize people. The stories that we read in the Bible are just amazing. But you know what? Your stories are just about that amazing. The stories are things that God has done in your life. You know your stories. And you know they're real. And the things that God has done are just about that amazing. Because you see, the trials will come. The trials will come in each one of our life, and I don't know about you, but it was a trial in my life that brought me to Jesus. I really wasn't too happy about the mess I had made of my life. And I knew that I needed to abandon the practices that I was following in those days. We found Jesus watching Billy Graham on television, as I've said many times, you know, and quickly after that, God had mercy on us and loved us enough to take us to the famous Friday night Bible study. And that's where we began to grow in the Lord. We knew we were saved, but we needed to know how to live in the Lord. During those days, as I was beginning to learn about things, I often called Morris, Pastor Morris, my spiritual lawyer. Because you see, when you go to, we've lived in foreign countries, and when you go to a foreign country, you have to understand what the mores of that country are. You have to understand what the people are saying when they speak. When we went to Albania, we were talking to people, and they were saying, yes, yes, yes. And if that doesn't confuse you enough, that when they'd say no, it was no, no, no. We had to learn what people meant when they say things. If you're in the marketplace counting on your fingers to show people how many you want, and you say, give me one, and they end up giving you two, because this ain't one in Albania. This is one. So this is two. The fact that you said two, so Denise comes home with 2 kilos of lettuce. Do you know how much 2 kilos of lettuce is? It's almost 5 pounds of lettuce. And bags. And I said, is that all you bought was lettuce? She said, that was all I could carry. You've got to learn the culture. You have to know how things happen in those countries. Morris was my spiritual lawyer. He began to teach me about things. And of course, he started with teaching me about God's grace and love. Bob, there ain't nothing you can do to earn it. There ain't nothing you can do. All you can do is Throw yourself on God's mercy and receive the grace that He has from you. He says you can't be good enough. He said, forget about the rules. Forget about being good. Focus on loving God. And I said, that's great teaching. I need to know that because, you see, I was the epitome of verse 26, where it says, if you don't follow the things of God, that you're building on sand, and that these things are going to fall down. And truly, they did fall down for me. The rain and its accumulated floods had me drowning in my troubles. All I could think about, preoccupied, I got trouble. And I was drowning in those troubles. The wind and the rain tested the foundation to the point where it blew away everything I was trying to build. Wasn't wrong with anything I was trying to build. It was all good stuff, working hard, trying to make it happen. But the foundation really wasn't very good. I felt like I think Adam and Eve must have felt in the Garden of Eden when they had sinned, because I just felt naked and ashamed. Like everybody could see. Everybody could see, and I'm ashamed of the person that I had become. I looked for cover just like they looked for cover. And you know what? I couldn't find it. I couldn't even find a fig leaf. I was in so much trouble. I looked for a place to hide. Couldn't find a place to hide. But God found us. While we were hiding in our room watching Billy Graham, God found us. And He helped us. And He took care of us. All of the dreams and aspirations that we had at that time were built on sand. In Matthew 7, Jesus begins, as I said, with therefore, meaning that this is where we go from here. This is the meat of it. This is what I want you to get out of it. For over 36 years now, we've been following after Christ, and we have weathered the storms. We have followed after Christ, and the floods have not washed away that which God was trying to build in our lives. The winds came and tried to destroy it, but you know what? Didn't happen. The foundation has stood the test. We have been blessed. We have been prospered. We're not multimillionaires, but I tell you what, we are the most blessed people on the face of this earth. God has blessed us with the priceless things of life. He's blessed us in so many ways. And when I talked to my spiritual lawyer and I said, okay, advocate, where do I go from here? What do I do? And one of the first things that my spiritual advocate taught me was in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Remember that? Yeah, he remembers that. I remember that just like it was yesterday. And the scripture says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, when you do that, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Serving God is not a list of things to do. It's not a list. And that's where I was. I was looking for the lawyer. What am I supposed to do? Keep me out of jail. Help me to stay out of trouble. Lord, help me not to cough again. I blew Don off of his chair. He's not even there. Serving God is not about a list of things to do. I was looking for it. That's what I thought I understood. What am I supposed to do now? He said, trust Jesus. You see, the things that I was looking for was religion. And religion leads us to the point, eventually, where we say, is that all there is? Is that your best shot? Is that all you got? I mean, I've learned how to show up on Sunday pretty close to 10 o'clock. I've learned how to give you some of my money. I don't do bad things anymore. But is that all you got? But my wise pastor took me to a place where he says, the Word of God is what you need. According to the Scriptures, we become the Word of God. According to the Scriptures, our thoughts and speech must reflect the Word of God. Not memory work. You can memorize Scripture, and that's a good thing, and I've done some of that. Don't do as much as I should and could do. But that's not the secret. The secret is living it. The seeking is gathering those concepts into yourself and knowing that I'm representing God well. It's a complete and total reflection of Christ to all those around us, that people see Jesus in us because that's who we are. The crude jokes, foul language, participating in the dark practices of our life when nobody can see, enjoying questionable TV programs or even programs on your computer, participating in ungodly festivals, all of those things, some of them done in complete secrecy. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know you did it. But you know what? It shapes who you are. It doesn't make any difference if anybody knows, because you know. You know you're a fraud. You know you're the hypocrite that people say, I ain't going to church. I don't want to be around all them hypocrites. Don't be one. Don't be one. Let God show. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? No more perfect than I am. You're not going to be perfect. But Christ will shine through you anyway. People will see Christ in you anyway. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We speak scripture. We speak holy words. We speak God's concepts. We become His voice to the people who need to hear. And meditate on it day and night. There was a story about the people who visited a missionary on the field, and they were sitting, they were talking, and the missionary was telling about what was going on, and they sat down to take a meal together, and the missionary picked up his spoon and just started eating. And the person who was visiting on the field said, wait a minute, you're not going to pray? What kind of missionary are you? You're not going to pray before you eat? And he said, sir, he said, I pray continuously. Why would I interrupt myself to interrupt myself? He prays continuously. The words out of his mouth, his thoughts, the meditation is constantly on the things of God. We see God in other people. Wouldn't it be great if we had an attitude of seeing other people and seeing the Christ in them, seeing the goodness of people and not the evil of people, seeing what we can say to be a blessing and to minister to those people? That's meditating on the Word every day, day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written. What is written becomes second nature to us. Somebody, the offering comes down and you automatically just reach in your pocket. You don't know how much is there, and you don't know how much you're going to give. But to automatically do the things that we do to be an honor and a blessing to our King and our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, to help other people and to give to other people our own selves, out of love and respect for what God has done for me. I'm rich. I am fabulously rich because my Father gives me everything I need the moment I need it. So why am I measuring? Why am I judging? Why am I trying to filter all these things out? The Word told me not to worry. The Word told me that we're secure in Him. The Word tells me that if we build on a solid foundation, God will bless the things that we do, including loving each other. What we saw here this morning is a beautiful evidence of the love of Christ. I didn't see anybody looking at their watch wondering, well, how long is he going to preach? Well, here's peace for you. I don't preach as long as Pastor Mars. God knew what He was doing to line me up for today. That's mercy on you. Otherwise, we'd sure be here till 2 o'clock. God loves you. The key to success of the kingdom of God is to become not only the Word of God, but to become the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? It's sitting in your chair. It's you. You are the kingdom of God. You're a part of it, but you're that. You are as complete in Christ as any human being who's ever lived. God did not love Martin Luther more than He loves you. He did not love the writers of the gospel and St. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He didn't love them a bit more than He loves you. You are the kingdom of God. You are his representative. You are the one who will take Christ to the places that he needs to be in our community, not anybody else. And for that, you will receive the priceless rewards of the kingdom of God. You ready? You ready for this? It's the thing that people strive for. It's the things that people want more than anything else. If I had all the money in the world, I would. It's listed in Galatians chapter 5. I would be love. I would be peace and joy. I would be long-suffering. I would be kindness. I would be goodness and faithfulness. I would be gentleness. Not brash. Not bold, but gentle. I'd be a self-controlled person. Galatians 5 says, against their things there is no law. These are the blessings of God. This is, if you want to strive for something, strive for this. Strive to be the kingdom of God. Strive to be the epitome of love and joy and peace and patience in somebody else's life. When somebody's telling you a long and detailed and maybe even boring story, listen. Because in that story is your opportunity to let the kingdom of God shine. Amen. To be with the Lord. To be self-controlled. Not to say, well, I'd love to do this, but I think I need another cup of coffee. Excuse me, please. And there are those who are Christ have been, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, if you live in the Spirit, if this the word, the meditations are in your mind, in your heart, in your mouth 24/7, let us also walk in the Spirit. I take that as a confirmation in the New Testament of what we found in the Old Testament. Meditate on those scriptures day and night. In John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to us, and he talks about abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. You know, the vine, for those of us who love to grow tomatoes, some of us successfully, some of us not, but we try. You've got the vine, and off the vine are the branches. Now, I'm smart enough to be able to look at a tomato bush, and I can say, that's the vine. And I can look at that same tomato bush and say, that's a branch. The vine and a branch are not the same things. But in all the times I've tried to grow tomatoes, I have never seen a branch growing a tomato without the vine. Now, if you know how to do that, Errol's giving me some good tips on growing tomatoes. But if you ever seen a vine, a branch growing a tomato by itself, I need to see it. If you ever see a vine growing a tomato without a branch, you let me know about that too. Because the vine and the branch go together. It's hard to tell where one stops and the other begins. And you look at it and you said, that's a tomato bush. I could say, that's the kingdom of God. It's hard to tell where that vine starts and where the branch begins. But I guarantee you, that branch ain't going to do nothing without the vine. And the vine ain't going to do nothing without the branch. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to say that you need to be totally and completely consumed by the Word of God. Consumed by that, by who He is. Consumed by the thought that you can be more than you are today. Let us be consumed that in God's image, He had never done a better job than you. In God's mind, you're about as good as it gets. You've heard me say this before. You're the A-team. If you're waiting for the Calvary to come, I got some bad news. There ain't no Calvary. There ain't no SEAL team going to bail you out. You're it. When He puts you in a place, and He will put you in a place, I hope He puts you in a place where the Christ within you can be the loving and joyful and peaceful and patient person that He needs you to be in that moment. That's foundation. That's foundation. We ain't got nothing going yet. All we're doing, I need to make sure that you understand that that's foundation. That's not building. We haven't started to build anything yet. And I still got another half to go, so hang on. The first step is to build a strong and lasting foundation that will weather the storms. Understanding the cultures and mores of the kingdom of God. We need to understand what we're supposed to do, but we do it out of love. We do it out of respect. We do it to honor our God and not as a bunch of rules that'll lead us to say one day, is that all you got? God, is that the best you got? Give me something good here. Then the question becomes that which every high school senior has on his mind, her mind. What am I going to do with my life? Mom and daddy are pressuring me. Do I go to college? Do I go to a vocational school? What am I supposed to do with my life? Every high school senior worries about it. There's some of us sitting there in this room who are a little past high school age. Who are maybe still trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do with my life? Hang on, John. You're going to graduate from high school just about right now. Go ahead. And building on the foundation, I had to go back to my mentor. And I had to say, okay, Pastor, I got it. I'm saved. I'm supposed to meditate on the Word day and night. I'm reading the Scriptures. I'm good. Let me get back to the other part again. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to build? And he gave me three directions. And I'll share those with you today because they're worth writing down. He said, in considering anything that we need to do, the first filter, the first test, you know what it is? The Word of God. If what you're trying to do does not line up with the Word of God, then you ought not do it. If somehow Satan tells you what you need to do is to be a bank robber, you're going to be the best bank robber there ever was. Nobody's ever going to catch you. He's going to empower you to rob banks. Don't do it. Don't do it. See if it lines up with the Word of God. And if it lines up the Word of God, then in God's view, this person you have become, this kingdom of God, can only go in that way. So as you've meditated, as you thought, as you have become the kingdom of God, as you've become the Word of God, see that that which you're to pursue in your life lines up with the Word of God. See, every decision, it's not only career decisions, but everything that you do. Should I have an abortion? Should I enter into this relationship that God will not bless? It's kind of simple. See what God says about it, and let that be the first level of what you need to do. By knowing the Scriptures, we know who God is. By knowing the Scriptures, you know who you are. Because you're not anything outside the nature and the will of God. Now, you can say, well, you know, God said, I'm going off script here, so help me get back if I need to. God said that we're all created in His image, male and female. How do you do that? I don't know. But yet, we're all the same in God's image, but yet our fingerprints are all different. Our DNA is different. Our call and our place in life is different. But yet our passions and the desires and the things that hurt us are the same. Pride, lust, anger, bitterness. Shall I continue with the list? Do you have anything on your list that's not on mine? Probably. We need God. We are only complete and full because we've been made in the image of God. When we reflect Him. So when we do this first thing, is it scriptural? Then the second thing is, is it possible? I've decided that which God has called me to do for a career or for the next step in my life or in the next 5 minutes lines up with the Word of God. The second step is it possible to accomplish? I may think God called me to be a brain surgeon. This would be a very poor choice on his part. I don't have the skills. I don't have the ability. I don't have the understanding. I'm not that good. Sticking my hand in a warm body is not my thing. I need to know that I have the ability, the mindset. Some people are mechanically inclined. Robert can fix anything. Just bring it to his house and leave it there and go pick it up fixed. I'll give you his address later. Robert can fix anything. I can't fix a whole lot of stuff, but I can count them. You know, my gift is numbers. I can count and organize. I'll have all those lawnmowers that are broken in your yard. I'll have them all lined up in a straight line. Each one have a tag and a number and a due date. You know, I'll get them organized. Robert will get them fixed. I'll get them organized. And we'll get George with his truck and trailer to come out and pick them up and deliver them from your house. You know, and we'll get Rose to come pray for all of us because we're going to be in a heap of trouble. I want to tell you that for all of us, we've got a place. It's our place. We're all made in the image of God. We're all His children. We're heirs to the kingdom. There's no Greek or Jew or male or female or black or white. We're all together in His kingdom. Praise God for that. But there's a specific thing that we must do. He said, why would He say, I'm going to give you a foundation? Can you imagine if all you have is the foundation? Picture it. The houses around town that never got rebuilt after Katrina. It's a slab on a lot. That's a foundation. There are pipes with the water coming in, but they don't go anywhere. And there are pipes for that other water to go out, but there's nothing going in them. Is that you? Are you a slab on a lot? Or are you going to build what God asked you to build? Who are you, an aircraft mechanic? Who are you, an accountant? Who are you, a nurse? Who are you, a computer genius? I don't know who you are, but God does, and He's got a place for you. No matter what your skill level is, you are, first of all, the epitome of the kingdom of God. And you will take God into places where no one else can go. Arrow can go out to the airport out there. I don't have the security to get into places he gets to go. But he can go into places and he can do things because of his skill. But there are people out there behind that door that need Jesus. There are people out there who need the love of Christ that he can bring into that. There are people in the hospital that Sherry can bring the love of Christ to. There are houses that Roe goes into, and he may go there and his modus operandi may be able to do an expert carpentry job, but I know his heart. He's going to be more worried about Jesus in their life than he is about whether he gets that thing built. It will get built. It will be beautiful. It'll be perfect. But that's not his first goal. His first goal is to love God. Each one of us in deciding what we need to do is it possible to do it? Do you know how? Do what you know how to do and watch God do what he knows how to do. We know how to talk a little bit. We were appointed missionaries in 1991 to go to Albania. If I had only known what God was going to ask us to do, I would have told him he had the wrong guy. I said, God, wait a minute. I'm really not good with languages. I didn't get any better, by the way. I'm really not good with languages, but I like people. He said, that's enough. Do what I tell you to do. We went there and God used us in just some incredible ways. We took it as far as we could take it and we stood there and watched God take it to an incredible place. Watch God use us as to take it to here while he took it to there. And he'll do the same thing in your life. Do what you know how to do. Do it well. Do it all to the glory of God without worrying about, well, that person talks better than me, or, man, they've been to school longer than I have. Let's not go there. Let's go with, what do you know how to do? Wherever you are, Christ can use you. If you're in a place that Scripture allows you to be, or if you're considering something that Scripture allows you to consider, you're good. Test one. Test two, do you know how to do it? Do you know how to do some part of it? And are you willing to let God take you the rest of the way? He's going to use you, but he's going to use you as the diving board. He's going to spring off of you You know, when the Olympics come up, they're not doing the Summer Olympics, but the Summer Olympics, they have these people that dive off the high diving boards. We're the diving platform. We're the foundation. We're the structure that God can climb up on and do these beautiful, amazing jobs that He does when people dive into the water. That's God taking you as far as He can take you and finishing up in a most magnificent way. And you know the real silly part about it is? We get the credit. God does these amazing things, and people come up and say, "Wow, that was amazing, Bob. How did you do it?" And the answer is, "I don't know. God did it. God did the amazing, incredible things. And He wants to do that for every one of us. Do what you know how to do. Do what's possible. And watch God." And watch God take it the rest of the way. My wise spiritual advisor, my wise spiritual lawyer, then added a third step to it. Don't know where I am in my notes. The third part was, what does God have to say about it? There's a lot of stuff you know how to do, but it may not be the right time and the right place. You know, my good friend John Wickert, some of you know him. John used to say, we always do the right things for the wrong reasons. Meaning that we think we know what we're doing, and come to find out, God knows more. We thought we knew what we were doing when we walked in this building today. Well, Rowan, Becky, and Jimmy are going to do praise and worship. Morris is going to make an announcement, Valentine's Day. I'm going to get up and talk, and we'll be out of here by 11:15. We thought we knew what was going to happen today. It didn't happen that way, because God wanted to heal you. God wanted to touch your lives. God wanted to make you better walking out of this door than you were when you came in this door. Hallelujah. Yeah, go ahead. To Him be the honor and the glory. It may be scriptural. It may be possible. But the other side, what does God say? Let God be God. Sometimes He just may shut you down. Well, look, God, that was one of the best ideas I ever had. I had never had a better idea than that. And Morris gave me the money to do it. What's your problem? If He gave me the money to do it, you know it's God. But ask God what He thinks. He may or may not agree with you. But His vision is so much more magnificent than yours. His trust in you is so much more than yours could ever be. A lot of times He'll say yes. Sometimes He'll say, not now. Hang on. I got something else for you. Go do this first and then come back here. And sometimes He just said, I got somebody else going to take care of that. I know I was whining. I hate whiners. I don't like people to whine. But I was whining. But I was whining to God about, why are those people doing that? God, you know, they're just aggravating the fire out of me. This is on the mission field in Albania. They're aggravating me, and God just told me, said, look, Bob, when you're ready to take on the entire responsibility for getting Albania saved, He said, I'll give it to you. Thank you very much. It was not my time to do that. But I prayed and I asked God, and He showed me. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. It can be scriptural, it can be okay, it can be possible that we can do it. But sometimes God just says, nah, not now. And sometimes He'll say, hey, go ahead and do it. I got you. I got your hand. I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to help you with this. We stepped up to the being pastors at the church in Albania. You'll have to know that when we went to Albania, I was not a credentialed minister. I was a layman. I just Denise and I were just folks just like you. We didn't have any papers to make. Am I doing something wrong? We didn't have any papers to make us official. We just went because we loved Jesus and because God said, the fact that we won a field at all was just a big miracle. One of the things that we prayed for, because there was so much I didn't understand, the least of it was when people said yes and no. That was the least of my problems. I didn't understand the suffering that they had gone through under a dictator. I didn't understand what it was to live in a country that where God was illegal, that if you believe that God existed, people went to jail just because they believed in God. People were killed just because they believed in God. This went on for two generations. I didn't understand what it was to be so oppressed, to be an oppressed person. And we prayed early on for my ministry. They said, God, help me to understand. Help me to understand what these people have gone through so that I can do a better job in relating to that, so that I can do a better job. Well, it was during the Kosovo crisis. A million refugees came from Kosovo. It was ethnic cleansing, if you remember. This was 1999, 2000, in that range. A million people came to Albania, refugees. Some of them had walked for days and weeks with nothing to eat. They ate the bark off the trees just to put something in their stomachs. Women delivered babies on the side of the road because the time had come. The fullness of their time had come, and that's what they had to do. People died. They buried relatives alongside the road. It was a horrible time. People came to the church, and it's a long story, but I was part of a humanitarian aid to feed and to help these people. In the process, I got sideways with the police. Now, these guys were working 24-hour shifts. They were probably hungry, sleep-deprived, and everything else. So I got pulled out of my vehicle, beat with billy clubs by the police. I was on the ground. I was kicked. I ended up with a concussion and issues in my neck and just all kind of nasty stuff. And ended up in police headquarters, the picture sitting in the middle of a dark room with the, you know, the pictures in the movies where they have this light over your head and a voice somewhere in the darkness is saying, when did you go and do that? You know, and that's what they were doing. They thought I was a drunk driver, which is another story is how we got there. They beat me. Denise didn't know where I was for most of the day. Last the kids told her, they saw them dragging me off in a police wagon covered in blood to go down to the police station. About a week later, I was feeling better from my concussions, and I was able to stand in the pulpit and to be able to say in Albanian, Sot unjam shqiptar. And what I said was, today, I am an Albanian. Mm. That's not what you pray for, but it is what you pray. God used that circumstance to help me understand. No man has ever, other than my daddy, has ever laid a hand on me. Nobody has ever punched me out. Nobody has ever oppressed me like that. But that day I was. And I believe that God allowed it to happen so that I could understand. So even when we go through some of the trials, God has a purpose in that, to help us to understand, to help us to minister, to help us to help each other make it through life. So I'm going to kind of wrap it up here. I just want you to know that you're valuable, that God has a very specific thing for you. And like my mentor taught me to say, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house. He's building something. We are building something for the kingdom of God. To build his house on a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. We meditate on his word day and night. We speak his word as we speak to others. We are his ambassadors into a sick and dying world. You and I are the kingdom of God. That's what we're building. We're building it on a rock. And the rains will come, and the floods will come, and the winds will blow and beat on that house. And it will not fall, because it's built on a rock. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the words to speak when we need to speak them. We pray for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you've done here today. Father, I thank you for the spirit of healing that's in this place. Father, I pray that healing would continue and manifest itself in just a magnificent way, that we may return to this house with testimonies of praise for what you have done, for you are mighty. We recognize that we are your hands and feet. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Great job, Bob. Thank you so much. You encouraged us. There's only the Word of God and the vessel of a godly man can do. All right.